brought to you by Penguin.
The Racial Code, Tales of Resistance and Survival by Nicola Rollock and read by Sarah Powell. To the elders, past and present, who have been fighting the cause long before I was born and who paved the way for generations yet to come. Introduction. I was at university when I heard about his murder. I was in my second year of a psychology degree and was struggling to cope with university life. There were three key anxieties that preoccupied me during that time: money, alcohol, and race. The money part was straightforward. I didn't have any. I didn't come from a wealthy background and was struggling, despite the system of grants available at the time, to make ends meet. I took on every conceivable part-time job I could to support myself throughout my degree. I learnt to shop on the most meagre of budgets, split an apple so that it served breakfast and lunch, and had a penny jar that was more often empty than full. My experience of alcohol prior to joining university was limited. There were the empty glasses left over from when my dad's friends visited our modest home in a quiet corner of southwest London, but those glasses served as the background accompaniment to long debates about politics back home, to fast-paced jokes that my child's ear never quite caught the drift of, and to the loud slamming of dominoes on our dining room table. Yes, alcohol was available at the house parties and clubs I went to in my late teens, but its presence was a mere backdrop to the night. My friends and I went out for the music, to dance, and to check out boys. Suddenly, at university, alcohol was everywhere. It was the central vehicle through which to meet others and, apparently, the central ingredient to enjoying oneself. Even the term pub crawl had to be explained to me. I didn't understand. I felt alienated. Along with a few other black girls at the University of Liverpool in the 1990s, I had to suffer drunk white students, and the odd black or South Asian one, dancing wildly and disjointedly to music on one of the few club nights in the month that played the R&B and hip-hop tunes we liked. The opening bars of House of Pain's Jump Around came to serve as our signal to exit the dance floor as quickly as possible before those same drunk students began jumping with near full pints in their hands, showering all in their range with cheap booze. It was also while at university that I began to think properly about race. Even my predominantly white independent girls' school in South London had not prepared me for what university would reveal to me. I met a white guy on my course and, brought together by a love of food, theatre and books, we started dating. Race soon made itself known, and it was not as a consequence of his love of The Smiths and The Cure compared with my love of En Vogue and Jodeci. Race arrived silently and unexpectedly, in the condemning gaze and unkind remarks of black male peers who, like me, were part of the African-Caribbean Society. Somehow, by deciding to date a white guy, I was insulting and rejecting them. I was confused. Did this mean that I was also rejecting part of myself, since we shared the same brown skin? I had not realized that my choice of boyfriend was a public and political act, and not merely a personal one. And for many in my boyfriend's family, I was the first young black woman they had ever met. This idea of being the first also confused me. What kind of lives had they led that meant they had so far only managed to meet other white people? I struggled to envisage that world. Odd questions were asked of me about who I was and about who my family were, as if they were trying to ascertain my legitimacy, my right to exist. I felt awkward and seen for all the wrong reasons. And as if this was not enough to contend with, when my then boyfriend and I dared venture down the streets of Liverpool, brown hand clasped in white, we were frequently met with the cutting looks of strangers who slowed down sufficiently in their cars to make sure we were soaked in their verbal bile. It was against this backdrop that I made the acquaintance of the white guy on the floor above me in halls, whose hip-hop repertoire and style of street dress extended far beyond any black guy I had ever known. It was as a result of his friendliness that I learned about Public Enemy. I listened avidly, every word.
Sample complete.
Ready to continue?